the rest of the story. Early one summer, 20-year-old Edward wrote a note to his father. In it, he expressed bitter feelings over his parents' divorce. The words were vindictive and hateful. Dad was saddened, but the sentiment, he told himself, was understandable. Soon there arrived a second letter from Zurich, where Edward was attending school. This letter even more malicious than the first. Edward's third letter was utterly irrational. Realizing now that something was dreadfully wrong, Dad hurried to Zurich. The boy's mother met him there. Edward had suffered a nervous breakdown. Both parents conjectured about the cause, concern over the exams at the university, perhaps, maybe a love affair gone wrong. They could not bring themselves to admit the more likely truth. Their son was seriously mentally ill. But this is the rest of the story. From the time Edward was very small, it was evident that he had a fine mind, a brilliant mind. He was reading at the age of 3, reading Shakespeare at the age of 5. Teachers called him most extraordinary. His memory was absolute and flawless, retaining intact and in context everything he saw or heard or read. Edward's passion for learning led him in all directions, science, literature, philosophy. But one thing had always vaguely worried his father. The boy could never add anything of his own to whatever he did. That is, despite his otherwise remarkable brain, it possessed absolutely no capacity for creativity. For example, Edward could play the piano perfectly. But no matter how hard he tried, he could not interpret the music. He could not contribute personality or feeling to what he played. This ostensibly insignificant condition troubled Edward as well, so much so that he once even copied a selection of colorful writing out of a book, then claimed to have written it himself. When he decided on a medical career, Dad was overjoyed, encouraged him warmly. Edward was studying medicine in Zurich, Switzerland, when the breakdown occurred. Dad sent him to Vienna for psychiatric treatment, and yet, ironically, this precocious young man, knowing as much about psychoanalysis as any of his doctors, outsmarted those he sought to help him. His condition, diagnosed as schizophrenia, grew steadily worse. Edward would return home to live with his mother, was eventually institutionalized in Zurich, and he died there, in that same private sanitarium at the age of 55. Before his personality exploded in a shower of sparks, those close to Edward knew him as such a kind soul, so sensitive, poetic, so thoughtful, and of course, in so many dimensions, utterly brilliant. And it's that for which he would be remembered best. That fine intellect, the brain, which it seemed could not bear the weight of its own brilliance. Nor perhaps could it bear the burden of living up to a brilliant father. The father, you know, as Albert Einstein. Now you know the rest of the story.